It's 5 minutes with me.
Heidi ho, and welcome to 5 minutes with Marco. We're going to start a 3-episode sub-series called Finding Real Hope. It's been a journey for me over the last, let's say, 15 years. I have become increasingly convinced that most Christians have a truncated, misappropriated understanding of hope. Much of this, though certainly not all of it, is thanks to the shallowness of so much pop faith, so much God exists to make me happy crap. The result of this, Jesus is my glossy veneer praxis, is the redefining of hope as optimism. Hope has become interchangeable with positivity, sort of a Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller, Joel Osteen blend of faith equals happiness. I think I've been suspicious of that idea for some time, but as I've said here in the past, the depth of that deception through miniaturization came into a sharp new focus for me while standing in a Port-au-Prince Haiti street one day, about a month after the earthquakes that rocked that country, roughly 14 years ago now. Pain and suffering were all around me. We'd just come minutes earlier from hearing the story of a woman with a crushed leg who'd lost her twin 15-month-old sons, then been trapped under the rubble of her home with her destroyed and deceased sons for 3 days. We had just prayed with her. She, Michelle, being stoic during our prayer, but her husband wailing loudly in Creole, "Why, Jesus? Why, Jesus?" And everywhere we looked, we saw evidence of pain and suffering, and everyone we spoke with, and I'm not exaggerating, it really was everyone. They'd lost a home or someone close or both. Never had I observed such complete and pervasive suffering. But then we got stuck in traffic. We hopped out of our little minibus to see why there were so many people clogging the street ahead of us. Was it a riot? It would have made sense. Was it a protest? That's what I'd seen in many other countries. I pushed myself into the middle of the crowd as it actually didn't seem dangerous, and I had a sense that I needed to feel this, whatever it was. Immediately, two old Haitian women in traditional clothing grabbed my hands and started yelling at me in Haitian Creole. I don't speak Creole, and I had no idea what they were saying, but they were smiling and communicating through their body motions that I was supposed to dance with them. I started doing an awkward and confused white boy dance with them laughing at me, I'm sure, and still holding my hands. And then I looked around. Everyone was smiling. Everyone was dancing. Everyone was jumping around. I continued to be disoriented and confused. And then these four realities hit me one after another, like a series of slaps on the face, or maybe like a series of breaths, sharp and over-rich with oxygen. First, these people aren't protesting or rioting. They're celebrating or something. Second, I noticed the stage at the end of the street with a worship band and realized this is a worship service and these people are worshiping. Third, a verse memorized as a child popped into my head. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And fourth, these people understand hope in a way I never will. Since that moment, I've become a bit of a hope junkie. First, I started slowly noodling on my understanding of hope. I read a ton about it. I spoke on it because I find that speaking on a subject often helps me flesh it out more. I even wrote on it a bit. I even published a now out of print book about it. I eventually came up with a little simple model for what hope looks like in the Bible. Here it is. Exile, followed by dissatisfaction, leading to honesty, then being confronted with a wall of fear, and on the other side of that is hope and transformed longings. In next week's episode, I'll unpack that. I'm praying you have a hope-filled and hope-fueled day, whether you're currently feeling hopeful or are in a place of exile or dissatisfaction.
The Youth Cartel Podcast Network.